You know, so Peter Parker, I mean, he's just your stereotypical comic book nerd. I mean, he's this wiry, thin, nerdy, kind of bespectacled bookworm. I mean, everything about him is not this hero figure. He's the butt of every school joke. In fact, he's never had a date to the dance. It was actually at a science exhibit, this is where he spends most of his time, that his life changes forever. For it's at a science exhibit is where he's bitten by this radioactive spider that actually gives him these supernatural powers. And in that moment, his life has changed forever. And this once timid Parker now has these powers that fate has kind of bestowed on him. He has the proportionate strength of a spider. So even though he's larger than a spider, he's the proportionate strength of a spider, which is incredible, by the way. He has this innate ability to climb walls. He has superhuman reflexes. And he has this kind of spider sense where he has this ability to sense impeding danger as it's around him. And you know, as you think about this idea of what would happen if we were to get these kind of supernatural powers, you know, the same that happened to Peter Parker would probably happen to you and I. We'd be so focused on ourselves that we would not be able to see that maybe these superpower gifts were actually given to us to save lives and to render good. Because for some reason, for Peter Parker, I mean, his life's beginning to change. I mean, he gets these powers. His life's beginning to go up and to the right a bit. You know, he's beginning to make some TV appearances. He's kind of displaying these powers. But one thing that is not changing is his attitude. In fact, in one scenario, he's in a TV studio, and he's actually doing an interview, and it's during this interview that it's actually revealed kind of the shallowness of his teenager status and kind of this immaturity side of him. He kind of makes a fool of himself. He walks out of the studio. He's out in the hallway as this criminal goes running down the hallway in front of him with a police officer in pursuit, and the officer yells out, and he says, hey, mister, could you help me? And as he looks up, he lets the criminal go on by. As the pursuing police officer comes up to him, he's like, hey, mister, all I could have used was a hand. And he said, all you had to do was hold him up. All you had to do was stick a foot out, trip him. To which, and it was in this moment that we begin to see for Peter Parker how much pain he's experienced in his growing up years, how much this kind of rejection during his school age years has actually, how this has taken a toll on his life. For he looks up at the police officer in this moment, and he says, sorry, pal, that's your job. I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm done being pushed around by anyone. From now on, I'm taking care of one person and one person only, and that's me. And that's kind of how Spider-Man was using his powers. He continued to kind of go out and subject himself and show up on TV shows. And you know, and he was gaining notoriety, but it was all for himself. It was all for himself. Until one day he showed up at his home and he found a patrol car parked in front of his house. And when he walked inside, a police officer had showed up to share with him that a burglar had actually broken into their house, had shot his beloved Uncle Ben, who was kind of like his mentor. And as soon as he hears this, he's kind of distraught. And in tears, he begins to make his way back to his room. He dons the Spider-Man costume. And he begins to go out and he says, I'm going to chase down this guy and bring justice to the front. So he breaks through the perimeter of the police that are out where this criminal is. He's holding police at bay at the waterfront warehouse. And he breaks through the perimeter. He goes back and he actually apprehends the criminal. He disarms him. He punches him out. He's unconscious. And it's only then that Spider-Man gets a glimpse at this criminal that's killed his Uncle Ben. And the first time he realizes this is the same man he watched and kind of stood indifferently as he stood in that TV studio hallway and watched this criminal just run by without making any action. And he begins to realize that his indifference in that moment actually allowed this criminal to continue to remain on the streets. It was his indifference in that moment that actually ultimately led to his Uncle Ben's death. And he's got some choices to make. He's got a decision to make right here. And it's in that moment that Spider-Man, otherwise known as Peter Parker, decides to now accept his responsibility as a superhero. And as he said in that video clip, he realizes in this world, with great power, there also comes great responsibility. And I want us to look at that today. I want us to look at what that means, because you and I, we find ourselves in this situation. We find that God gives us power to do certain things, and there's a responsibility that comes with that. So before we do this, before we go after this, let's pray. God, I'm excited to be here today. I'm thankful for the people that have gathered in this room. I'm thankful that people have given up about 70 minutes of their morning on a beautiful Sunday morning to be in a dark room and to just kind of pursue you. I'm thankful, God, that you give us things that inspire us, things like superheroes. I'm thankful that you give us things like the Bible that gives us a different picture, a different way to live. It gives me a different way to live. And I'm thankful, God, for the commitment of these people who are here today. I'm thankful, God, that, that we can come into this place and we can be open to whatever you might want to do, however you want to move in our life. And I just want to ask that you'd help us to be receptive to you. I want to ask that you would help us to just be open to whatever you might want to do in these next moments. God, I ask that you'd help me to articulate this today and to articulate what's on your heart. And most God, I'm just thankful for your character and for your faithful name. Pray these things in that. Amen. So, you know, today as we look at this hero, Peter Parker and Spider-Man, you know, we see another fascinating figure in the scriptures who's also kind of one of the spiritual heroes of the Bible. And his name is also Peter. In fact, he's one of the interesting guys of the Bible. He's known as the Apostle Peter. He's known as one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles. Jesus also refers to him as one of his 12 friends. And Peter is a very pivotal person in this movement that Jesus is kind of sweeping the earth with. And we see that Peter is a person of action. In fact, Peter is a person of aggression. In every instance, Peter makes very aggressive moves. In fact, on one occasion, if you're familiar with some of the stories of the Bible, Peter was out with 11 other friends, and they were out on this boat. Jesus told them to go out onto a boat, go on across this lake, and Jesus stayed behind to pray on the mountainside. And as they're out on this bait, on this lake, they say it's about the fourth watch of the night, which was right before daybreak, and all of a sudden, Peter and a couple of his friends see Jesus as only he can in his supernatural powers, walking on the water across the lake toward them. And here's where we pick up this story in Matthew chapter 14. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come out on the water. I mean, Peter's very aggressive right here. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. So while everybody's freaked out right here by what they're seeing on this lake, by the weather, by everything that's out there, Jesus supernaturally, as only he can do, comes walking out onto the lake. And people could, you know, really crack on Peter right now. Peter's like, hey, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come out there to you. And so Peter immediately gets out of the boat and he begins walking very aggressively out toward Jesus. And this is where people kind of give Peter a hard time right here. Because all of a sudden, look at verse 30 right here. It says, he looks out and he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And so people crack on Peter right here because, you know, people are like, oh, you are too concerned with your external conditions, Peter. You're making an aggressive move, and all of a sudden you begin to notice the things going on around you. And certainly there's some truth right here. But because when we take our eyes off the goal, when we take our eyes off of the prize, we take our eyes off of God, you know, when we stop kind of going after God, we begin to see all of the distractions around us. But don't forget something about Peter right here. Peter was the only one that got moving. I mean, the other 11 losers, where are they? They're like back in the boat still. They're standing back. They're going, oh, no. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, no. I mean, you know, and we find ourselves there, right? I mean, I think that's kind of the ratio. One out of every 12 actually get moving. One out of every 12 are actually pursuing God. I mean, right here, we have 10 of the 11. They're just standing around. They're going, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, man, the economy. What am I going to do? We're praying. We're fretting. We're just sitting around. What are we going to do? We're like, oh, man, you know, what am I going to do? I hope sometime God begins to like me again. And so we just sit around. We pray. We fret. We worry. You know, we sit around. We're like, oh, man, I hope things begin to turn around and go my way. But all we do is we sit around. I mean, Peter actually gets out of the boat, and he aggressively begins to go across the water. It's a very faithful move right here. And you know, I don't know why. I don't know why for some reason that people seem to think that people that gather in churches, people that are closer to God, for some reason that they're more peaceful, they're more serene. No. If you're getting closer to God, your life should be more movement and aggression and action oriented. I don't know how we ever dumbed this thing down. I don't know where along the way we dumbed it down to just being a bunch of people sitting around, you know, in a serene sense. You know, I was down at the Brickyard Friday. I don't know if there's any race fans in here. They're probably all gone down at the race today. But I was down there Friday, and I'm not a huge NASCAR fan. I'm a race fan, but I love going down whenever there's racing down there. And one of the things I really love about NASCAR, though, about these guys, I mean, these guys are aggressive. Not only drivers, they're aggressive individuals. I mean, the adrenaline gets pumping. I mean, the fans are aggressive. I mean, you see diehard people down there, all right? I mean, wearing stuff I would never put on my body. And yet, man, they're aggressively going after their guy. They're amped up. They're sometimes liquored up. I mean, but for a one-day event, man, these people get aggressive and excited. I love that about NASCAR. But here's the thing that bothers me right here. What bothers me is that, you know, I look around all over the world, and in churches all over the world, I don't see this kind of aggression. I mean, people get aggressive for this one-day thing, but for this thing that has eternity written all over it, I don't see any level of aggression. So when we see this aggression in Peter, I mean, this is something that's to be esteemed in Peter right here. And, you know, sometimes he gets it aggressively wrong. I mean, you know, there was an instance where he actually reached down and took out a sword and cut off a Roman soldier's ear. And in a very strange chain of events, Jesus actually picks that ear off the ground and replaces it on the soldier's ear. I mean, in that case, the aggression got the best of him. In another encounter, you know, sometimes Peter got aggressively cowardly. I mean, when Jesus was arrested and he was led away, you know, as the disciples, these 12 friends kind of scattered, there were people that came up and they were pointing at Peter and like, hey, weren't you one of those 12? Weren't you one of the ones that were friends of this guy, Jesus? And Peter's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Are you talking about me? Jesus? Who's this Jesus of Nazareth guy? I've never heard of the guy. Three different times that takes place. And what we see in Peter here is he's also up for making an aggressive mistake. All right, that's what happens when you're an aggressive individual. Sometimes you're going to make an aggressive mistake. You know, there was another time where Jesus was asking his friends, he was kind of like, you know, what's the word on the street about me? You know, what are people saying about me? And who do people say that I am? And everybody's kind of mealy mouth on this. They're kind of like, well, you know, some people say you're kind of like Moses. Others are kind of like, oh, maybe he's Elijah. And yet others are like, man, he really resembles John the Baptist. And Jesus kind of like cuts straight to the chase. He's like, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Because, you know, what he's really saying, he's like, that's what passive people do. Passive people are always worried about what everybody else is saying. Jesus is like, I want to know what you say, who you say that I am. And right here, classic verse of the Bible, here's what Peter says right here in Matthew 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for it was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, you see, he changed Peter's name right here, from Simon to Peter, because Peter actually means Petrus. He says, on you, Peter, on you, this rock, on people like you, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. I mean, Peter's kind of like, hey, I'll make an aggressive move. You want an aggressive statement? Everybody's kind of mealy-mouthed on this. You want an aggressive move on this? I'll say, hey, you're the God, you're the Lord, you're the Messiah. And Jesus is going, well done, Peter. Way to go. I'm finally glad to hear somebody kind of say something aggressively and boldly. And what he's really saying, he's saying, Peter, what you just got right here, this is the base understanding of what it means to understand who I am. This is a basic understanding of who God is right here. He's saying people who come to this basic understanding of who Jesus is in this way, they're going to be joining a mighty force that's going to be sweeping across and changing the world. Jesus says, when you get this, when you align yourself with this aggressive team, this aggressive movement, you're going to be called to certain things. You're going to be called to go to places. And he says, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, they will not be able to withstand this. And so today, I want us to kind of look at this life of Peter Parker, this idea of man, when we're saved, when God does something in our life, then maybe it's not just for us, but God begins to call us towards something else. And we see this in Peter as well, that there's this great call that Spider-Man got, there's this great call that Peter got, but really we're going to have to wrestle through what's the call that God has given to me on this. And I want us to look at this because we're a part of this story, and as we learn from these two figures, we're also going to be learning about ourselves. And you know, I know we have people here who are guests today, and we always are excited about that. And at the same time, I know we also have many people here today who are part of Team Crosspoint. And for those of you that are a part of this team, you know, as this community prepares to go forward, we're in a very, very important season of Crosspoint. As we've got a purchase agreement in on land, we're taking bold, aggressive steps to our next place. I believe right now, over the next year, we've really been in it for about a year, God has been preparing and shaping this community for the next season. Not to say that aren't happening now, but I believe God's shaping this place. And we're going to have to tap into this aggressive spirit that we see in Spider-Man, this aggressive spirit we see in Peter. But before we do that, let's look at another episode from Peter right here. I'm going to read this. We're going to talk about some tests today, about four tests. And I don't know about you, I don't like tests. You like tests? I never like tests, at least in the moment. I never liked that philosophy 101 exam that got stuck in front of me that I had to do two times to get out of the class. I never liked that. I never liked that piece of paper sitting there that I knew I had to do well on in order to put that on my checklist, right? I mean, and yet, at the same time, I also understand that if you're familiar with the educational system at all, you understand that tests are a part of the process of learning. Without tests, we never push forward. Without tests, we can never test out of the course to the next course in life. And so Peter, he's going to engage in some tests right here. And these are tests of faithfulness. These are tests that I believe Team Crosspoint is in the midst of right now. And we're going to be wrestling through this. You're going to be wrestling through this. You're probably in the middle of it right now. Take a look at Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of You know, I should have learned that. I really should have learned that word in theology class, and be honest, but I didn't. And so we're going to call that the Lake of G. With the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. I guess that's what 2 weeks off does right there. So he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So right here, we see Jesus, and you know, Jesus is helping people. He's healing people. People are being attracted to him in increased ways. He's reflecting who God is right here. And at the same time, this is a point in Jesus' life where he's doing some very hard teaching right now. There are people that are listening to what he's talking about this movement, this aggressive movement that he's engaging in. And there are people that are struggling with it. There are people that are thinking, man, I don't know that I can hang with this thing. There are people that are literally walking away saying, man, this isn't what I signed up for. And yet, at the same time, people in increased ways are being attracted to him. So much so that in this situation, he's getting a little claustrophobic right here. He's basically developing an exit plan. So he looks around, he's seen Simon's boat behind him. He's like, hey, Peter, let's get in the boat and let's push out a little bit. He probably pushed out to about 6 feet or so, and then he continued teaching. Why 6 feet? This is about 6 feet right here. Well, because, you know, if you want to keep pressing against Jesus and, like, not giving him any space, at about 6 feet, you're probably drowning, all right? So that's why 6 feet. I mean, he's just getting out far enough so that he can create a little barrier, get a little personal space. And then he continues teaching, and amazing things are happening right here. People by the droves, people are just attracted in him. Why? Because he's simply talking about life. He's talking about God. He's talking about life and how it plays into our lives. We pick up with verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let's let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. So let's set the context. Peter is a pro right here. Peter is a pro fisherman, and Peter's been up all night the night before fishing, and he hasn't really been impressed with what they caught all night. The fish just generally weren't biting. And after Jesus is done with this little sermon, after Jesus doesn't really have anything more to say, he says to Peter, he's like, hey, Peter, let's get in the boat. Let's go put out for some deep sea fishing right here. And Peter's kind of like, well, you know, Jesus, you know, why don't you keep keep to the teaching, like the speaking stuff, and why don't you let the fishing stuff like stay in the fisherman's hands? And that's really what he's saying right here. He's kind of like, hey, he's kind of like, you know, he's doing this very gently, if you notice. I mean, he's like, hey, you know, we've been out there all night. The catch wasn't really great. It's daytime now. It's hot. It's, you know, the fish aren't inclined to bite during the heat. And so he's kind of like, you know, why don't you just let us stick to the fishing? You kind of stick to the speaking thing. This is the first test Peter's in right here. Peter is wrestling with what I want to call the obedience test right here. The obedience test. Let's be honest. Obedience is never easy. It's never easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't feel like obedience, right? It'd just feel like the let's just make the make sense test. Because that's what we normally want to do. You know, if it wasn't obedience, it'd be the test of let me just do it by my own accord and my own volition, by my own wisdom. But, you know, obedience, we don't like it, or we don't understand it, or maybe we've never seen it done that way before. In Peter's case right here, I think this was just off his grid. He'd never seen this before. And so the question here for Peter is he going to obey Jesus in this moment? And he does. He passes his test with flying colors. He says, Master, look, Jesus calls him Master, or he calls Jesus Master right here. And then he hits the BBYSS line. You know what the BBYSS line is? But because you say so. I mean, how many of we hate the BBYSS line, right? But because you say so. I mean, what he's saying is, I don't agree with it, Jesus. I really don't think there's any fruit that's going to come out of this. But because you say so, I'm going to do this. And he aggressively does what Jesus says. He pushes out. He pushes out. You see, Jesus is constantly giving instructions like this. In fact, you know, Jesus once came up with this thing called the golden rule. You're familiar with the golden rule? It's not the golden rules. It's not the one who holds the golden rules. It's called the golden rule because it's golden. It's like at the heart of this thing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what Jesus, what God, what the world is all about. In fact, we find it in Matthew 7. It says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Now, you know, many people feel that all religions are generally the same and that, you know, that they all just kind of have a little different take on different spiritualities and different understandings. And to some degree, that's the case. I mean, we see this lived out in other experiences. Like Muhammad said something similar, said, hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. The Hindu scriptures say no one should never do to one another which one regards as injurious to one's own self. And then Confucius, he's an interesting guy. Do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself. And you know, Confucius, he was a big philosopher. He also said, I think, something like, you know, if you go to bed with an itchy bum, you wake up with a stinky finger, I think. That's how it went. Right? Like, that's kind of a slow burn right there, right? Because we can't get too serious right here. We never get too serious. Actually, Confucius didn't say that, but it is true. It is true. I mean, you try that, it is true, all right? It is true, by the way. Notice these three spiritual vignettes right here, though. Notice something about each of these three. They're all about don't do something bad to someone you don't want done to you. I mean, they're all in the passive. They're all in the not do. They're all in the don't do something so it doesn't happen to you. Whereas Jesus says, do one to others. He says, go and be aggressive. Go be a blessing to others. I want you to be in the aggressive form and aggressively go bless people. This is what obedience is. When you follow a call, you're being obedient by getting out of the boat and aggressively going to be a blessing to others. The story continues, verse 6. So when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came, they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You know, Jesus knew what he was talking about right here. I mean, he knew when he said, let's go out to the deep water. I don't know if it was like that sixth spider sense that he had. He just had the ability to do that. I don't know if he could see through the water and that the fish were all teeming under there. I don't know how it happened, but we see that this happens. And so much filled were their nets, they had to call out to their other friends, another boat to come, to help them grab the corners of this net. And literally, I'm picturing them like pulling, tugging this thing into the shore and just dumping these fish on the shoreline. All right? I mean, it's filled so massively. This is the second test right here. It's called the team test. And the team test indicates whether or not, this is a test that indicates whether or not you're going to try to do something on your own or whether you're going to see that you're created to link up with other people. Are you going to do this on your own accord, under your own wisdom, or are you going to be linked with other people, seeing that we can accomplish more when we're linked together? You see, all great things happen through teams. Individuals, they can do aspiring things. Individuals can do creative things. But all great things happen through teams. Teams come together and amazing things happen. This is one of the things I love about the local church, or at least what the local church should be. Get this. The local church should be a team that's wanting to aggressively do something, not just passively not make mistakes. Let that soak in a moment. Aggressively do something, not just passively not make mistakes. You know, I think this is one of the problems we have in our spiritual lives today. I think, you know, you may believe in God. You may even read the Bible. Maybe following God. But one of the questions is, have I made a commitment? Have you made a commitment to be a part of a team where you depend on others and others depend on you? I don't know what kind of teams you've been on, whether it's a thespian team or a flag football team or, you know, a work camp team. But, you know, there's something about being on a team where there are certain roles that must be filled. And when everyone fulfills their roles, we all depend on one another. And if one person doesn't get their job done, then the job doesn't get completed. I mean, this is how Jesus orchestrated his life. He ordered people around him. This is how he moved this thing forward. He continued and his movement prospered because he worked linked up with teams. You and I, we have to ask ourselves, am I a part of a team Or am I just an individual vigilante, kind of out on this own spiritual thing with my own private convictions? I mean, this is a major test of whether you're coming to the place where you're linked into a huddle with others and you're heading in the same direction with them. It's the team test. Jesus continues, verse 8. Then Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So they pull in this incredible catch of fish. And I have to think that if you're on the pier watching this, I mean, you're watching this huge catch of fish going in. I mean, you know, nets pulled up, fish flopping out of the sides. And man, Peter, fishing guy here, I mean, way to go for Peter. I mean, he did he was marvelous. I mean, he makes them drag these into the shore because you know what it looks like? Everybody on the sidelines, they don't know about the conversation taking place out on the boat. I mean, everybody's like, man, way to go, Peter. Fisher guy did this, man. Speaker guy didn't do this. This was fishing pro Peter that made this thing happen right here. And Peter had a decision to make right there. I mean, he could have quietly kind of come into shore with this huge catch of fish and just kind of quietly directed like, oh yeah, I knew that was going to take place. Yeah, he could have done it. He could have gone up to Jesus and be like, way to go, Jesus, man, good job. Man, way to pull this thing in. But you know what he did? He didn't do this. He was a very wise, aggressive fisherman to bring this in, but Peter knows that he's in a test. I mean, not only catch of the month, this is the catch of the year right here. Peter knows he is in the middle of a test. And, you know, the most powerful tests that you and I are ever in are the ones that we don't know about. And I actually don't know if Peter knows he's in the test right now. But you know, God knows when he's testing us. God knows when he's preparing us, even if you don't know it. And Peter passes this test with flying colors right here. I mean, this burly fisherman, I don't know if you've ever been around fishermen or seen real fishermen. I'm not talking like weekenders with their little fishing poles. I'm talking like the burly, gnarly, earthy, you know, aggressive fishermen that are out on the seas. I mean, Peter, this burly, gnarly fisherman bows himself down. And notice, it's kind of fascinating that this is the group of people that Jesus assembles to do his mission, right? I mean, it's not the seminary graduates. It's not the ones who have all the right language. It's like the gnarly, burly, earthy, kind of aggressive team that Jesus assembles. And Peter comes out of this test, and what does he do? He drops to his knees, and he says, "Master, I'm not even worthy. I need you to get away from me. Get away from me. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence." This right here is called the glory test. The glory test. I mean, this is one of those moments where he passes this again with flying colors. Now, you and I are on this all the time, on the glory test. I mean, there may be a moment, whether you know it, whether you say it or not, there might be that moment where you're like, oh, yeah, I made that happen. I'm a great strategic thinker. I worked that out. There might be those moments where, you know, in your business, you know, they're looking over the financials, and you're like, oh, yeah, that one right there, that one with the good budget, that's my spreadsheet right there. Yeah, that's me. You know, it might be that moment where, you know, you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I pulled this thing off. I mean, if you put yourself into something, I mean, you're gonna make things happen. You know, all of these things that you and I do, when we're pursuing Jesus, when we're pursuing what Jesus is about, when we're focused on moving his movement forward, even if we were a part of these things, every single one of them, we're just playing a role, and ultimately, it's our responsibility to give that glory back to God. Say, man, Jesus made this happen. God, I was part of it, but this is what Peter does right here. He's like, man, I was part of this thing, but man, I got to bow down right here. This was not me. This was speaker guy right here. Goes on, verse 10. It says, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, I think Peter right here is realizing that he's in the midst of glorious divinity. I mean, he's realizing, man, there's something supernatural going on right here. I don't know exactly who this guy is, but I mean, there's something going on right here. And Peter is actually realizing that there's some power that's transcending him. I mean, he's realizing the greatness of who Jesus is right here. And he drops to his knees and he gives Jesus credit. But honestly, he is terror-stricken in this moment. I mean, he is terror-stricken. I mean, he's kind of like, oh my goodness, what am I in the presence of right here? And Jesus is like, whoa, don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid. You are just now beginning to get it. You're just now beginning to get what my movement's about right here. And I'm actually going to call you to something different that you've been focused on. This is a fourth test. It's called the aspiration test. He says, I'm not going to just make you a fisher of beans. He said, I want to make you a spiritual fisher of people. I want you to now take your aggression and go out and help people come into the fold of God's love. I want you to go out and I want you to serve people. I want you to go out and help people envelop into community. I want you to go out and show people what it looks like for forgiveness to be experienced. I want you to go out and show people and reflect who I am to people all around you. I want you to apply your aggressiveness right here, your gnarly, earthen, kind of earthy person that you are. I want you to go out and I want you to use that to show people who I am. It's the aspiration test. I want you to think for a moment, what's your aspiration? What's your aspiration? What? You know, I'm not talking about that thing that if you were to get up and give like a 3 or 4 minute talk on, man, this is the thing that drives me. What do you really aspire to? You know, I'm not talking about that 2-page paper that if you put it in front of a strategic thinker, you'd be like, man, they'd go, man, that's really good. I'm talking about like that 3 or 4 sentence. What's that thing that pushes me in life? What's that thing that causes me to go forward and drives me? You know, is it to be seen as the smartest one in the room? I mean, is that what drives you? Is it always, man, I always got to be seen as the one that knows, you know, has a lot of knowledge when I'm in set situations with other people? Is it, you know, that I want that picture perfect family, you know, just like the one in the middle of that Hallmark card? I mean, is that what drives me? Is that my aspiration? I mean, is your aspiration to, you know, retire at the age of 60 years old and go to Florida and let, you know, mosquitoes suck your geriatric skin? I don't know. I mean, yeah, what's your aspiration? I mean, what's the thing that where you're sitting in your seat right now, what drives you? You know, is it to just not make mistakes so that you can look like you got it all together? So you sit back and your goal is to not make mistakes? I mean, what drives you? What is it? Because what you and I aspire to, you know, what we aspire to, what we say we aspire to, isn't really always what it is. But you think, what is it? What do I aspire to? You know, Peter's faced right here with an opportunity to leave everything he's aspired to. I mean, he loves fishing. He's grown this great fishing business. In this situation, Jesus says, I want to change that. I want you to aspire now to go after people. Peter Parker, kind of the same way. I mean, he's given these supernatural powers, and he's got a decision to make. Am I going to use this to continue to serve myself, or am I going to go out there and leave and start going after people? In both cases, man, they give up the selfish side, and they begin pursuing people. These are 4 tests that every one of us, I believe, are going through right now. Every one of us. The obedience test, the glory test, the team test, and the aspiration test. It's 4 tests that every person who's aspiring to be faithful is going to be in the middle of. As we put a wrap on this series, you know, I want to talk about Team Crosspoint for a moment because, you know, I believe we're in a test right now. I believe we're being prepared, we're being shaped. God's arranging this community continually toward accomplishing right now his mission in this community and what he wants to continue to do in the future. And he wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be a critical part of this aggressive movement. And whether or not you know it right now, God is actually preparing you. He's been preparing you. And I know, I mean, I'm not naive to the fact, and I hate it, but I know there's some of us that aren't up for the test. I know there's some of us that would be like, man, that's way too high for me. I don't know that I like, I know that. I know there's going to be some that are going to bail and be like, oh, I don't know, this is more than what I thought. I know that. But what I also know is there's even more that are going to say, man, I want to go there. I want to be a part of this movement. And there are going to be people all around that are attracted to it. As we close this down, each week we ask you to take out your cards. There's some next steps on the back. I want you to pull these out. And we do this because this is for every one of us, whether you're here every week or this is your first time with us, because we want you to come into this place and not just sit and walk out of here after 70 minutes and say, yeah, that's good. We want you to be able to say, man, I'm going to take some step today in some way, regardless of where I am and my spiritual persuasion. You take a few moments to reflect and say, what's my move going to be? Do I need to aggressively move on something? I'm not talking toward like hammering something. I'm talking about being aggressively moving on something to be a blessing to someone. Is there something you've been passive on? Maybe you need to have an open, honest conversation with God. Maybe you don't know where you're passive right now, where you're not engaged. You just need to say, you know, God, reveal that to me. Maybe you've been around this place and, you know, God's really kind of began to build into you and some things have happened in your life and it's time for you to get engaged in a different way. Maybe you need to begin to be a part of blessing people through Crosspoint. You need to begin serving around here. Maybe you know where that is. You can write that in. Maybe if not, we'll email you a survey. Because I said, we're looking for loading team members, men, women, people that can help set environments up for transformation every week. And it's our greatest need right now. If you want to help on that, just write that in the blank. And we'll engage you and you'll become action-oriented, a part of this movement. Maybe you're not there and you just say, yeah, I'm going to attend the next 3 weeks, the backstage pass. I'm going to get a picture of how this place rolls, how when people are linked together behind the scenes, this place happens. And that's your commitment. Just say, I'm going to be here for the next 3 weeks. Or maybe you want to attend the Explore Crosspoint next week. Hey, whatever it is, there's multiple options. Maybe there's something else you're going to take a step in today. Take a moment over the next few, next 30, 40 seconds and just say, God, what do you want to do in me? Because for Peter Parker, his indifference actually didn't just affect him in that moment. It actually cost him his uncle's life. And he ultimately came to the place of seeing that I was saved. And with this great responsibility, this great power that's been given to me, I have a responsibility now to bless others. And once he came to that peace, once he came to that sense of understanding that, he was actually able to fulfill the call of a superhero. So take a moment, respond, and we're going to sing.